And you shall know them by how? By their love. By your love for one another. That's how you'll know. And love isn't being wimpy. Love isn't being a pushover. But love is so strong, it repels and casts out the spirit of fear. That's how strong love is. So don't think, oh, they're going to take advantage of me, or if I love them. Love is the strongest, one of the strongest forces on earth. It repels, cancels out, drives out all fear, anxiety, worry, depression. Amen. Well, this morning before we begin, I want to show you a clip of when Pastors Craig and Jenny were here from Canada. And it's just small, but it's just to refresh your memory. And I just want you to watch it. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Just come down so strong. And I said to my husband when I got in the car, I said, this is the best way I know to explain it. But I heard these words, my kingdom shall visit your kingdom. And I don't know how to explain it any better than this, but it was like a wind that I could see coming up out of the ocean, but it was of the Holy Ghost. And I knew it was, revival is coming. But I saw it was like thousands upon thousands of people. Their cry was going up to the Lord over the generations. And I could see the Polynesian people. And as their cry was going up to know the Almighty, the way I saw it was like a wind that came up from the ocean. That's the only way I know to explain it. But it came up like this, out of the ocean. And it was beautiful, it was poetic, it was very romantic, but there was a mournful note to it. That a mournful note of crying out to the true and the living God, wanting to know Him. And I saw the heart of the Father, and then I heard those words, my kingdom shall visit your kingdom.
Glory.
And He's very aware and loves your people. And He's got a great, great vision for Hawaii.
Amen.
Heard it. God spoke to us and says, God's kingdom shall visit our kingdom. Yeah. I love the fact, don't you, that God said His kingdom will visit our kingdom. God still recognizes Hawaii is a kingdom. He does. And all you Hawaiians should have gave a big shout for that. God didn't say, my kingdom is going to visit the 50th state. But He said, my kingdom is going to visit your kingdom. The way that Hawaii was first instituted from back in the 1800s, and even up until now, He's a righteous God. He's righteous. And He'll set things in order. And what took place was the doings of man. It wasn't the doings of God. The overthrow and what happened in 1959, sure, Hawaii became a state. But God spoke and said, His kingdom will visit our kingdom, your kingdom, the Hawaiian kingdom. God still recognizes that as a sovereign Hawaiian kingdom. And what he says and recognizes, it goes. Because man has his plans, man has his schemes, but compared to God's plans and what God has in store and the plans for God, man, God laughs at man's plans. Yeah, they're nothing. God laughs at them. So He said, my kingdom shall visit your kingdom. Amen. Well, what is God's kingdom? What is God's kingdom? In Romans 14, 17, just open your Bible and turn to there. Let's look at it. A lot of you have that memorized. We know, what is God's kingdom consist of? In Romans 14, 17. I'm reading out of the Passion. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food and drink, but it is in the realm of the Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the flow of the kingdom. That's the flow of heaven. Are we seeing that right now here on the earth? No, because we're in the last days. Yes, there's gross darkness, but the kingdom, God's kingdom, we are still to operate in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those three things are powerful items. They're powerful. They're mighty virtues. They're mighty in God's kingdom. You know, we sing righteousness and peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness and peace and joy. The world offers unworthiness, depression, unrest, just all of these things. That's the flow of death. That's the flow of the enemy. But God's kingdom, even in the midst of what's going on out there, of hell breaking out, God says for us to flow and live in righteousness, who we are in Christ. Nothing can change that. Nothing. We know who we are in Christ. Peace. Peace is such a precious commodity nowadays. To have peace, to be able to lay your head down and just sleep and rest and refresh yourself. Some people long for that. They look for that. Peace. Barbara Walters years ago interviewed Barbara Streisand. And she asked her a question. She asked her, Barbara, you know, amidst of all that you've acquired and got, you got fame, you've got money, you've got a powerful voice, you've got mansions, you have everything at your fingertips. What's the one thing that Barbara Streisand doesn't have? And she replied and she said, peace. Peace. Can't be bought. It can't be ordered on Amazon. It can't be, you know, flown in from some exotic kingdom, from a nation. But it's the peace that the people of God have. It's part of the kingdom. It's been ingrained. And if you're not in peace, you can get in peace, because peace is the Lord, and He lives on the inside of us. So peace is in there, but we have to tap into it, though. We have to tap into that peace and quiet ourselves. Same thing with joy. Remember how? Remember that there's those streams of living water on the inside of us. And you have to let down your bucket and pull up joy. Pull up those streams, the waters of living water, life, joy. Because what's out there will rob you of your joy. It'll steal from you all of your joy, get you in. And yes, these things affect us, but not to the point where we are not flowing in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, because He comes to steal those things. And so we are to flow in that. Serving the Anointed One by walking in this kingdom realities pleases God and earns the respect of others. So serving the Anointed One by walking, these are kingdom realities, our righteousness, our peace, our joy. And we have to remind ourselves sometimes of these things. I have peace, peace like a river. I have love and joy. And that'll sustain you, that'll strengthen you. We have these fruits on the inside of us. And that's kingdom realities, even in this day. And so what I want to talk about today is our divine visitation. Our divine visitation. Divine visitation is the biblical divine order within the church, and God is committed to be present in the midst of his people. Hebrews 12, 23 says this. You can just listen or you can turn there. Out of the Passion says, "And as members of the church, all of our names have been legally registered as citizens of heaven." All our names have been legally registered in heaven. Your name's written, not just in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you're a registered citizen of the kingdom of God in heaven. Each of us are. We're all citizens up there. And so what happens on down here, yeah, it affects us. But yet we're not from here. Our citizenship is up in heaven. That's where our eternity lies. That's where our citizenship is. And we have rights and privileges and a covenant that we can draw upon because we're citizens of that realm. And that's such good news. And we have come before God, who judges all and who lives among the spirits of the righteous who've been made perfect in his eyes. So when God visits, God said his kingdom is going to visit our kingdom. So what to expect when we have that visitation from God? It's going to be a dimension that removes all the challenges, all the troubles from your life. It'll break you free from strongholds of stress, tension, worry, anxiety. Abundance is released. Deliverance, restoration, miracles take place. God's visitation brings blessing, sets things back in order when God visits. The promises and all the prophecies are fulfilled on the visitation from God. Are we expecting that visitation, though? That was said back in July 30th. God's kingdom shall visit our kingdom. And I don't believe it's just not just going to be this church. I believe it's going to be the kingdom of Hawaii. Yes. God's going to come. Like Pastor Jenny said, revival's coming. Yeah. It's coming. And the natural flames that destroyed a town as precious to us as Lahaina, God will take that same situation that the enemy meant for ruin, harm, and destruction, and he'll bring revival flames to the kingdom of Hawaii. You watch and see. You wait and see. The God we serve will do it. He shall. He keeps his word. He doesn't say something, just put something out there and not fulfill it. You can bank on whatever God says. You can take it to the bank. He's faithful. His track record is impeccable. He's not like man where he lies. And so we must expect, pull on, and cry out for this visitation from God, because it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. God visited down through the ages. His visitations change the course of men and women in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. God visited Solomon. He blessed him with unprecedented wisdom and wealth. The Lord visited Hannah, and from a woman who was barren, her barrenness left, and he healed her womb, and she produced 3 sons and 2 daughters. In Genesis 26, God visited Isaac and blessed him immensely with wealth. And he was a distinguished person there in his region. And the favor of God was on him in a strong way, and his descendants multiplied. God visited Jacob and blessed him with all the covenant promises. God visits Sarai, who later on became Sarah, and gives her a baby. In Ruth 1, God visits his people and provides them with rain and food. These are all parts of God's visitation. When God comes and visits, oh, he comes bringing gifts, restoration. His precious presence is alone enough. His peace, that marvelous peace, Nothing like it. Peace for your mind and for your troubled hearts and for your very soul. Peace. How we need that. God visited the upper room in the book of Acts. That was a mighty visitation where he poured down his power, and it was just like the earth shook, an earthquake, and changed that entire region, changed the world, because he says that promise that he bestowed upon the people up in the upper room is a promise that we have today and to every future generations. Are you praying in your heavenly tongue? Are you using your gift of the Holy Ghost? It says in Jude, pray in the Holy Ghost. Why? To build yourself up in your most holy faith. Your faith can be weakened by, we all know how, we can all name the things that can just come against your faith, natural circumstances, things that are happening just right now on our doorstep with these fires and with this whole situation. It can take away and chip away at your faith. But yet God give us an arsenal, weaponry to build ourselves up. And the Holy Ghost speaking and praying in tongues builds you up from within. And if you haven't been praying in the Holy Ghost, you can, just like that. Just like that, you can get reignited. Just like when your car, have you ever had your car just die out and you have to call for somebody to give you a jump start? Well, they come up, you put your hood up, they put their hood up, get the jumper cables, and they put them on your battery, you know, and release power and get your car going. Give it a good jump start. Sometimes that's what we need too. A jump start, not that's temporary, but that will sustain you and bring life and power, support and strength into your spirit, especially when your faith has taken a hit, especially when your faith has been weakened. And all of us has been there. All of us have. Every one of us have. We've been shaken to the core. Some call it having the wind knocked out of them. Some call it just, to where you're just weary, where you just feel like, you know, somebody can just come up and just touch you and you just blow you over. There's no strength in you. But we have strength and peace, and all of these things are within us because the kingdom of God is within us. So you have that. God's not going to come down and ignite those things. We must do that. We must activate those things. Stir them up. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That's so important. Why is it so important? Can't I just go through life without the Holy Ghost and my heavenly language and tongue? You can, but you're going to be powerless. And man's power reaches, I don't want to say an expiration point, but it's... our power is limited within ourselves. There are some strong people, strong, and yet in the course of things, you can just get weary and wilted down, and just your faith and your strength is just taken from you. But having the Holy Ghost and living in the kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy can strengthen and ignite within you and keep you strong. Even if it's just 5 minutes a day, it's vital. It's vital to your spiritual vitality, your spiritual well-being, praying in the Holy Ghost. How do we prepare? How do we prepare for God's visitation? Well, glad you asked me that question. The answer is in 1 Peter. Turn there, 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 9 through 12. How do we prepare for God's visitation when he comes to visit us, these islands? There has to be some preparation. There's things that we have to do, you know, on our part. We can't just come in any old way. We have to prepare ourselves. And 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 12, tells us how to do that. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. That's, we're talking about Faith Family Maui here and the Bride of Christ. That you may proclaim the excellence, can also insert awesomeness, of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Just for that fact, that's marvelous, that's awesome. Being called out from darkness into his light. Wow. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh. That right there in a nutshell tells you how to prepare for the visitation, for the things of God. Abstain from the passions of the flesh. Abstain from being carnal. Abstain. Hold back. Discipline yourself. Discipline your mouth when you want to react, when you want to say something ungodly, when the carnal mind goes online and tends to want to go to a site where, or sometimes these sites just accidentally pop up. I know it happened to me, and you're just like, you know, and you're trying to delete it, and then, you know, it's, oh my goodness, you know. These things just pop up. And when these things assault us, and it's the flesh, we need to abstain. Deny yourself from these things. Because the enemy has a reason. If you submit and yield, then your faith and your spirit will weaken. And your flesh will have dominance, and that will become stronger. And then after a while, you sin a little bit, sin a little here, sin a little there, and then you figure, well, I might as well just let it rip. I've, you know, already done this. I'm already on this path. No, abstain from the flesh and from the carnal nature, which wages war against your soul. These things wage war. There's a war going on within us. Between, you know, Paul says, the things that I know to do, the things that I want to do, I don't do them. And the things, you know, it's just like there's that struggle within me. Oh, wretched man am I. And the things which I don't want to do, the things that I know that I shouldn't partake of and do, I do them because of that sin nature that lives in us. But we have the power of the Holy Ghost in us to overcome, bypass, and be victorious over all these areas. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. The Gentiles are who? The outside world. Keep it honorable so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. We're to be honorable to them. No matter what they say against you, no matter what slanders, if they did it to Jesus, expect it. He said, if they persecuted me, guess what? They're going to persecute you. We're to expect it. He says salvation didn't include just being in this bubble and floating through life, but we're going to have opposition. We're going to have men come against us. We're going to be slandered. They'll come against us one way. But Jesus said he's giving us heads up. They did it to him. But he says, take up your cross and follow him. Crucify your flesh. And when the people, it didn't say if they do that, but when they speak against you as evildoers, you may say, I'm just walking righteousness. I'm doing good. I'm helping them. I've gone out of my way. I went and cut their grass and, you know, I brought them groceries and I've done all these things. And they're accusing me of doing evil, of having ulterior motives. Don't dismiss that. And I know it's hard because it's hard against, you know, as Christians, because we try to live pure and we have the Lord and the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. To see evil, blatant, in your face evil, it can just rattle shake you. I remember years ago, I forget the gentleman's name that led, we all went to Lahaina when they were celebrating the Mardi Gras, the Halloween. And we went down there, and he had a big cross, and he was marching down Front Street. And there were some of us, you know, behind him. And we went out there to just witness, pass out tracts, and just love on people. And we were welcomed with swear words. We had eggs thrown at us. We had people spit on us. We've had displays of demonic activity. There was drugs. There was some nudity on the streets. It was like being in hell itself. And I know as we marched on Front Street and we seen all of this, and it was just right in our face, and we're proclaiming Jesus and trying to love people and win some over. In that face of evil, one young lady that we had with us, she was a new Christian, and it affected her so much to where she just had to go in an alleyway, and she just broke down and wept. And she wept because of the fallen state of the people. How have they gotten to this state so far of darkness? And it affects you. But yet, Jesus says, we're his people. We're his holy nation. We're ambassadors in Christ. And we go in and with the strength of God. And we can look evil right in the face. And we have the wisdom of God, and we know how to react, and we're not going to react like the heathen, like the world. But we'll shine that light irregardless. Look at the beatings. Look at the persecution the disciples went through. Peter gets thrown in jail. The magistrates and all of the officials tell him, we don't want you preaching out there. No more. No more. Take the gospel, and they ride him out of town. They drive him out of town. So you think Peter would go and just like, man, we're getting out of here. We're going to hightail out of here. He turns around, comes back into the same town, begins preaching again. And then they say, that's it. So they arrest him. They beat him. They flog him. They do all of these things to him. He wasn't a machine. He wasn't made of metal or mechanical. He felt that. He felt that hatred, that persecution. But yet he just kept on going. Stephen pulled outside of the city, ready to stone him for preaching and for telling of Jesus and his good works and the gospel and God's kingdom. They pull him outside the city gates and they stoned him. And I believe Stephen didn't feel a thing, because the heavens opened up and he seen the Son of God standing before him. I believe, this is just me, my opinion, I believe the same thing happened with the people of Lahaina and Kula, those that died in the fires. I don't believe, even though the flames may have touched them, God's grace and mercy, especially the children, I don't believe the flames hurt them. I don't believe they felt anything from the fires. I believe that with all my heart. And so the disciples and all of those and all of the martyrs who suffered gravely all had that inner strength, that tenacity, had the kingdom of God living on the inside of them. And we can't give up. We can't quit. We won't. We cannot. There's too many people depending on us. Don't you know, the Bible says in Hebrews, that there's a cloud of heavenly witnesses? And they're not just gazing and looking down, criticizing, but they're up there cheering us on. They're up there praying. Go, Marie. Go, Eric. Go, Colton. Go. Preach the gospel. Do. Go for us. Who will go for us? We will. We'll go for the Lord. Expect opposition. Expect people to be ugly. Expect it, because we live in a fallen world and it hurts. It goes right to the heart, just like a dagger. But just know there was somebody who says, I can relate, and I've been through all of that you're going through. And Jesus hung on the cross, and we all know what he went through for us. Pulled his beard, took a flogging, opened up his back with a whip. pierced his side, to where he was even rejected by his own in his hometown. You think that didn't hurt him? Do you even think that that rejection that he felt? He went there saying, guys, who amongst you sick? Who needs healing? I can heal you. His intentions were only good, honorable, to heal the people, especially his home folk, to go back home. You ever gone back home to your hometown? And it's just so good to have everybody welcome you. They didn't do that to Jesus. They start saying, isn't that Mary's boy? Isn't that the carpenter's son? Belittling him, putting him down. His intentions were so pure and honorable. He wanted to heal. He wanted to restore, save, put things back in order, perform some miracles. And they rejected him. They wouldn't have nothing of it. They wouldn't have him. And he could not do, the Bible says, you know the story, could not do no good works. So he can relate to us being rejected. He can relate to us being persecuted when it just goes right to the core of you and you feel like, you know, it just pierces your heart. But we know, and he can relate, and he'll strengthen us from within. So we look on Jesus as our role model and to him to follow in all of this, because he already gave us heads up and says, you're going to suffer these things. You will, because you're one of my followers. So that just tells us in a nutshell, keep your lives pure for this visitation. And God visits us all the time. He's here right now. But we're talking about this mighty visitation where it's just going to shake this nation, where revival flame's going to come, revival, people's hearts, salvation. His visitation invites salvation, his presence. All of these things are going to happen. It's going to be mighty, but we have to expect it. He spoke it. He said it. Keep yourselves, yes, keep yourselves right, holy and pure as much as possible. And live as if Jesus was going to come tomorrow morning and take us. And we're taking many souls with us. That's why Jesus hasn't returned yet. Because of souls, because of there's still many, many out there that was lost. I just want to tell you a real quick story. It's an illustration about a Christian woman, and this isn't her real name. We'll just call her Catherine, just for namesake. And she loved the Lord deeply. And the Lord spoke to her one day and told her, and he said, I'm going to visit you, Catherine. I'm going to visit you in your home, and begin making preparations for my visitation. So she goes about in charge of running around trying to get her house in order. And she was in charge of a large soup kitchen in her church and in the community. And when she found out that the Lord was going to visit her, she called her workers and says, we're going to close down the soup kitchen because I have a big event that I'm planning for. I have a special guest coming to my house. So she called in that day and told her workers that she wasn't going to come to work. And then she just started preparing again. She went in her house. She was cleaning it. She was vacuuming. She was washing the dishes. She was doing everything to prepare for this awesome visitation of Jesus. And she was just busy going about doing all this from top to bottom. And in the midst of doing all this, her phone rings and she answers it. And it's a lady friend from church, frantic, crying, asking her for prayer for her daughter, because her daughter ran away from home and was missing. And Catherine explains to her, I'm so busy, I can't pray for you. But you know what? Call the church and the prayer chain. They'll pray for you, okay? You know, and I'll get back to you in a couple days. But she just told her, you know, I've got a pressing situation, a thing, and I'm just really, really busy. So Catherine begins cooking a 5-star meal for when the Lord comes. And she's making everything just perfect for him. And she begins to dress herself in her best attire, looking radiant for the Lord's visitation. And there comes a knock on her door, and she's thinking, that's got to be the Lord. And so she opens the door and thinking it's Jesus. And instead, it's a young mom whose car broke down outside of her house, and she needed a ride to the hospital. And this woman, Catherine, started getting frustrated because of all these interruptions. And she's just like, of all days, you know, these people are just bothering me and calling me and interrupting me. And so she told the woman she can't help her. And she was already getting a little bit irate. And she turned her away. And she wouldn't even let her use her phone. So she begins doing the final preparations in her house. And then evening comes, and it's getting late, and still no sign of the Lord. And she starts wondering, he said he was coming today. You know, 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, where is he? Where is the Lord? So she's sitting there all primp and proper, house is squeaky clean, candles lit, everything just fit for a king, rightfully so, King Jesus. And so she sits down and cries out to God and says, Lord, Master, where are you? I prepared myself and my home for your visitation, and you're still not here. Where are you? And she heard the Lord respond sternly to her, saying to her this, Catherine, I did visit you today. I visited you three times. And Catherine responds and says, When did you come to my house? Three times? The Lord said, I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. Matthew 25, 35 to 40. I was a stranger and you refused me in. I was sick and you withheld ministering care to me. Jesus then said to her, I assure you, most assuringly, most solemnly, to the extent that you did it for one of these brothers and sisters of mine, even the least of them, you did it unto me. But since you did not, the woman who needed help on the phone, the person who came to her house, the homeless people who needed feeding that day, these were all visitations from God. But she was expecting this grandeur, you know, and Jesus might visit us, some of you, that way. But as put in Matthew 25, Jesus says, and we may say, when did I see you, Lord, sick? When did I see you hungry? When did I see you? And he says, that's why you go into the prisons. You visit the poor, feed them. Visit those that are down and out. Give them a cup of water. Give them some food. Because when you do it for the least of them, you may say, they don't appreciate it. They don't even know. Sometimes they're so drugged out. They're so, you know, they don't even know what doesn't matter. We're doing it unto him. And Jesus says, when you do it to the least of these, you're doing it unto the Lord. And great will be your reward. We don't do it for the rewards. We just do it. I'm doing it unto Jesus. To the homeless one that's just sitting, lying there on the sidewalk. To the people on the west side, all of them. You know, sometimes we want to do something grand and big and grandioso that would make an impact. But just start with one. Just start with one. Giving them a cup of cold water, giving them something that, you know, that's a start. That's because you're doing it unto the Lord. And he said, and he gets stern in that passage to where those that did not do that, their fate, there was no reward for them. In fact, a lot of them went down into the pit where there's gnashing of teeth, because this woman expected Jesus just, and she ignored all the calls for help, all the ministries, all the things where she could have gave. Lord wouldn't have minded. He wouldn't have minded. And so that just brings us right home to where we live. And in closing, I want to leave you this scripture, and I want everybody to turn to it. This is a result of missing God's visitation. It's in Luke 19. Verse 44. Luke 19, verse 44. And I'm reading out of the Message translation. If you had only recognized this day and everything that was good for you, but now it's too late. In the days ahead, your enemies are going to bring up their heavy artillery and surround you, pressing in from every side. Not one stone will be left intact. All of this because you didn't recognize and welcome God's personal visit. That's pretty stern. That's sobering. I'm going to read that again. God's saying, if you had only recognized this day, what day? The day of his visitation, the day when he comes to visit us. His appearing, his presence, and everything that is good for you, because you didn't recognize and welcome his personal visit, then all these things are going to happen. Your enemies, you'll be overtaken by your enemies, and etc. and so forth. It's so important. God's more concerned about visiting us than we are, than our expectation of him, of his visitation. He's going to visit these islands. He is. He's going to visit Maui. He's going to visit us here at this church. Did he not say that this church is the breach to where his power will flow through? And he gave the illustration of just like lava flow. We're that church that God has breathed upon to bring these things to fruition. And it will happen. Well, when, Pastor? When is it going to happen? Just live every day just like it's going to happen today. Just live and prepare yourself. Keep yourself upright. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Strengthen yourself. And just do good even if you're spit upon, even if they hit you in the face. As hard as that may be, but the flesh sometimes need to be put down a little bit. Sometimes the flesh just gets a little bit too, it thinks it's the new sheriff in town. It's not. Now put it down. You ain't the new sheriff in town. Jesus is Lord. Your spirit man is in charge, or he should be at least in charge. Strong, courageous, able to do all that he's called us, all that he's called us to do. And so we are positioning ourselves there for this. Are you ready? Are you expecting that? We don't want to be caught off guard either. And so we're busy doing about the Father's business. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word today. We remind ourselves what you spoke to us. We take your words and we hide them in our heart. And we know, Lord, that you'll bring it to pass. We love and honor you, Jesus. We prepare ourselves as a people, corporately and individually, for your mighty, awesome visitation, your divine visitation, because it will be. It is divine. And all these things that you bring along with it. We prepare our hearts. We prepare ourselves by reading more of the Word, spending more time with you, praying in the Holy Ghost, just strengthening our spirit from within so that we're not weak, so that the things, that blatant evil that is out there cannot affect us. It's out there, we know it, we see it, but it won't be able to infiltrate and penetrate and affect us because we have the kingdom of God living on the inside of us, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing here at Faith Family Maui, amongst the other churches, the spirit and word churches that acknowledge you. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you. And we thank you that your word puts us over every time. It's powerful, sharper. It's our daily bread. And we feed upon your word. It's our sustenance. In the name of Jesus, strengthen your people.